At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Welcome to the latest United We Stand podcast. My name's Andy Mitten and I'm sat outside an Algerian cafe in St Etienne, like you do. I'm with Mark Ogden, who's been a guest on the podcast previously and a popular guest, judging by the number of people who downloaded questions and downloaded the podcast. Mark is the chief football correspondent for The Independent newspaper, or is it a newspaper? We can ask Mark about this, because I invited readers of United We Stand's website to submit questions, and plenty of you did. Thanks for joining us again, Mark. We last spoke in America on the pre-season.
Yeah, it was San Jose, wasn't it? San Jose, and it's kind of a place with a son or a saint will do a podcast, isn't it?
There are plenty of musical references, aren't there, between St Etienne and San Jose. Yeah. Well, we do know the way to St Etienne. St Etienne are a brilliant band.
I know, yeah. Obviously, that was a talking point for everybody when we came to St Etienne, googling pictures of Sarah Cracknell.
Well, there's worse people to Google.
Absolutely, yeah, but anyway, at least they're that better, I think. It's 25 years, it's a long time since they were at their peak.
Even longer. There's a museum around the corner from where they are, dedicated largely to their 1976 season, when they reached the European Cup final, and they'd reached the semi-finals the previous year. I did a piece on it, and I got complaints from Liverpool fans straight away saying, why have you not mentioned that we knocked them out of the 77? I didn't do it intentionally. I just didn't have enough time to write the piece as thoroughly as I would have done. Yeah. Ideally, I would have spoke to former players. But when you're on the move like we are every day, you don't have that luxury.
It is one of the iconic images of the 70s St Etienne at Anfield. Well, obviously, they played United at home park at Plymouth.
Yeah.
They've just got one of those kits, and I've been up there today at the souvenir shop, so I bought with lads a little St Etienne top and what was up a red training top, so not a green one, a red one. So it's one of those places. They've kind of fallen hard times a bit. I think they're the most successful club in French history in terms of titles, but they're not one of the current superpowers, so they need to get a rich backer on it from Qatar or something.
Yeah, finished sixth last season, fifth and fourth in the last few years, and I'm not a man for wearing football shirts, but the other day I went on a mission to try and find a green shirt, a Lecoq Sportif one. I don't know anything from Lecoq Sportif, but I really like their old St Etienne kit. And I just wanted to say, allez les Verts.
Absolutely.
And I walked around the city centre, not only couldn't I find it, you couldn't find a St Etienne shirt, and I thought, this is a massive marketing opportunity that's been missed. The only place that sells the current kit is their mega store by the ground.
Stadium, yeah.
So I went in there, said, have you got an Allez les Verts, you know, the famous slogan for your club? I've got money in my pocket. I said, oh no, we're sorry. So I googled it, and Lecoq Sportif are selling them on special offer for €15. So I bought one. I'm not sure if I'm going to wear it.
No.
But I like the idea. They were quite cool, weren't they?
It's a bit too bright. I must have been up there today, and it's a bit Kermit the Frog bright.
Yeah.
It's didn't have any. I think it was like large or extra large, or kid sizes were like size 8-6, or so. They haven't got the Man United idea of flogging everything as best they can. The shelves were half full. I'm thinking, well, you've got a town full of Englishmen at the minute that's going to buy all these tops, and you know.
But they would, though. Seriously, yeah. the English lads have got money in the pocket.
And also, they're all early '40s, early.
They remember. 50s.
It's their thing, isn't it? You know, it's an iconic. It's like Ajax of the '70s. It's one of those iconic images, and yeah, it was quite a surprise, but it is very bright green.
Enough of St Etienne. Although we wouldn't have a problem if Sarah Cracknell wants to come and join us. What Manchester United fans listening to this want to know is, who are United going to sign, on which date, for how much? No ifs or buts, I don't want any margin for error. Can you tell us this exact piece of information now? And if you don't get every single one of them right, you're a fraud who knows nothing.
I'll be held to account on Twitter.
You'll be held to account.
Yeah, the
you'll be retweeted.
Absolutely.
You'll be hammered.
I know, it's... I mean, obviously things have changed with the change of manager, so there'll be different targets, and I do expect Ibrahimovic to arrive after the tournament. Although having seen him this tournament, I think I can see the impact it'll make, but I'm not quite sure he's not the player he was. He's 34 now, and he's got a lot of goals in France last year, but then I'm judging too harsh. He's playing for a Sweden team that are pretty poor, you know, so you've got to give the guy credit and long hard season. So I think when he arrives it'll be a good signing, a big impact signing. They've already signed Eric. It's Eric Ballet, yeah. How you say it, so I'm not sure that'll catch on. But I expect there to be other deals to be done. And I think maybe a couple more before they go on tour, because I think Mourinho wants to hit the ground running. There'll be a lot of players that aren't around because of the Euros anyway. I don't think if they get through to the knockout stages, which, well, they will do, because I think the way the formula is that England are through to the knockout stages regardless, it just depends which position they finish the group. Then Rooney and De Gea, Chris Smalling and Marcus Rashford probably won't go on tour anyway, so they'll be working with a shadow squad, so it's probably a good job he's not going for a long time to the Far East. It's only a week long tour, so it gives him a chance to get into people back home.
We're both on that tour, so maybe we can join up then and talk about whether the exact targets have been realised or not. What type of player do you think Mourinho is going to go for? Because you and I will speak to people and he goes for a certain style, and Eric Ballet, he's physical, he's younger than maybe the identity fit Mourinho player, but he's big, he's strong. In March, one of the agents said to me, he'll fill the team with his soldiers.
Mm.
Guys will win straight away.
Well, you look back to the Chelsea team when he came from Porto, fairly quickly, you had Cavallo, you had Michael Essien, you had Didier Drogba. Real kind of, you know, real men. And I think the one thing that United lacked last season and the year before was that sense of, you know, imposing figures in the team. They're a team of nice players, you know, Ander Herrera, Juan Mata. You know, Morgan Snyder's got a bit of presence, but you won't say he's a man, he's a leader of men. And I think
he's disappointed, hasn't he?
Yeah, he just looks a little bit lightweight. And whether that's because Van Gaal didn't give him the run of games he deserved.
But
at the
even
right
for
time.
France, is...
No, absolutely. There's a lot of nice players around at the minute, you know, that the whole. Graham Souness used to say about certain players, he's the sort of player that you take. As your son-in-law, but will you take him as the guy that's going to win your game midfield? Probably not. You want a bit of an animal sometimes, and I'm not saying we should sign Joey Barton. I'm not, you know, not that sort of animal, but just you need people that will lead from the front. You know, the Vidic's, the Evras, the Rios, and you know there aren't many of those around anymore, anywhere. But I think that's Mourinho's identity signing. He wants a strong spine of tough guys, hard men that will go the extra mile to get a result, and even if it means doing the other thing that's not quite right, you know, the Pepe kind of player that will put his foot in where he shouldn't do it. I think you need a bit of that. I think United need a bit of nastiness back.
Mentioned Ibrahimovic. He's a great player. How long he can be a great player for remains to be seen. Given the demands what his agent wants, there's only probably four clubs who could afford to buy him. There's only really United who are looking for that type of player. He's not going to go back to Barcelona. Real Madrid aren't going to take him.
He's very close to Ancelotti, so
yeah.
If Bayern Munich, and I have heard whispers that Bayern are interested, and I think he's very close to Mourinho, but he's closer to Carlo Ancelotti, so that might appeal to him. I'm not sure whether it's Bayern's way of doing things. They don't really need that sort of impact signing for big wages. I think United's need is greater. But it could just be, you know, agent talk trying to just stir the pot. I mean, I think the deal's been done, and it's all in place. It's just a case of signing it off. So
Raiola's never been shy to come forward and offer his views.
No.
I did a PSG game last year against Ajax, and in the mix zone there were players talking to journalists on the other side of the barrier, and there was Ibrahimovic's agent, and it seemed that he had a run of the place.
Yeah.
And he was holding court for a good
35 minutes in different languages, and it was like PSG was his personal fiefdom. Yeah. He obviously been gifted so much power there, and I know that pissed off Cavani,
yeah,
who was a very good player himself, but he's got the personality,
yeah,
to come to Old Trafford. The stage is big enough for him.
Yeah.
It fits with Woodward's, this guy's going to sell shirts. When he came to Barcelona, I know a man who runs an agency selling tickets, and his business went up 40-50% with Scandinavians,
right,
coming over to watch Ibra, especially Swedes. And United have got a big Scandinavian following, but it's predominantly Norwegian.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was in Paris for the Sweden Republic of Ireland game, and I was absolutely amazed by how many Sweden fans were there. And I just made the point of saying that, you know, this is incredible. And somebody said, well, actually, when they played England in Kiev in 2012, there were more Swedes in the ground than England fans. And I've never seen England that number at a major tournament, not in Europe anyway. So the Swedes have got, they've got a lot of money to spend as well. So it ticks all the boxes for Ed. But just on the Raiola thing, I think that is an interesting one. And we all know the involvement that United had in the past with Raiola, with Pogba back in 2012, maybe 2013. You know, the time flies by. Obviously, Sir Alex Ferguson wasn't a fan of Raiola's, but I do wonder whether bringing Ibrahimovic to United and getting Raiola involved is almost like a foot in the door for Pogba. They've never lost the interest in bringing Pogba back. I think last year it was highly unlikely because he was in charge at United and his desire to play in Spain, but I don't think Barcelona can make a move from this summer because of their financial situation with the wage bill they've got. Real Madrid are kind of seem to be tentatively looking around, but you know, if Pop was going to go anywhere this summer, and Man City have pulled out of the running already, which is kind of significant because it suggests that they know he's going somewhere else. If you've just kind of brought his agent on board with Ibrahimovic, is that a means to an end? You know, is Ibrahimovic a means to an end in terms of getting Paul Pogba back? I don't know. I mean, but he would tick the box of an imposing figure that Mourinho, you know, I'm not saying he's a Michael Essien type, but he's a powerful midfielder that Mourinho likes, and we shall see on that one.
I was in Turin a couple of weeks ago and I spoke to people there. The players are firmly under the impression that he's staying, and officials are not under the same impression.
Yeah.
And that's the message coming out of the same club. And one just said Madrid.
Yeah.
And yeah, the players thinking we want to win the European Cup next year. So
Juventus.
Yeah. So there's different versions of the truth. As there often is in this situation, and money can change.
I think people underestimate how big a club Juventus are, and the clout they have, and they can pay big wages. We can pretty much guarantee silverware every year for Pogba. But Serie A is not the league it was, and it's not the box office league it was, and obviously La Liga and the Premier League are where it's at. I've been told that he doesn't particularly have a great desire to go back to Manchester.
I've been told that.
I think he got, if London was an option, yeah, I think he got to Chelsea, but
yeah,
money talks, doesn't it? And yeah, Man United can talk louder than anybody at the minute.
But he's playing in a far better team who could make a good charge at winning the title again in Italy.
Mm.
Semi-finals, maybe even the final of the Champions League. Maybe, you know, they got to the final last year, maybe they could get a bit of luck.
I just think if Paul Pogba wants to be the global star that he could become, he has to get out of Italy, because Italian football doesn't offer the stage or the platform for that. And
English clubs could absolutely blitz them out the water when it comes to what they can pay. Yeah. They can't just match them anymore. They can do to Italian teams what Italian teams did to English teams when they signed David Platt and Luther Blissett.
Yeah, Paul Lindsay But the thing with Pogba is interesting. I don't think, like I say, United is the top of his list at the minute, but he's still very close to the likes of Jesse Lingard at United. You know, he grew up with these kids and they keep in touch, and you know, that might have a part to play in it. I think it's an unlikely deal to happen, but I don't think it's one you can rule out, especially with the involvement of Raiola.
He is close. I did a piece the other day where I spoke to the headmaster of Ashton-on-Mersey School, the former headmaster, who recently retired, and his daughter's going out with Michele Fornesier, mm-hmm, the former United lad who's now at Pescara, going back into Serie A. And he was over there a couple of weeks ago and Pogba rang him. Pogba's mates with him. Yeah. And Pogba is mates with some of the lads who he spent his formative years with.
Yeah.
And that's pretty to be expected, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that's a good thing. But I've watched him monster matches. I watched him against Verona in January, and it was like when you're 13 and there's a boy man on the other team.
who's just so much stronger than everybody else. And I've seen him in other games where I thought, you're not having an impact on a match like Ronaldo or Messi would.
Yeah,
but then he's not that type of player.
Maybe that's why he needs to leave Serie A. Yeah. He needs a challenge. Yeah, he's probably too comfortable there. And there's no real challenge for Juventus in Italy at the minute. I think that's... If you're going to make yourself a better player, you've got to challenge yourself. You've got to go up against the best midfielders in the world. You've certainly got the capability. But you're right, even in this tournament, Euro 2016, you know, it's not really grabbed it by the scruff of the neck just yet. And it, you know, he's France's main guy, so along with a couple of others. So who knows? Maybe he needs that challenge now to raise his game a little bit. Look at that. John Stones is the same, you know, at Everton. You know, they get to a point where to full of development, they have to move on. And, you know, maybe, I think he'd probably head into City, to be honest, but he's another one that United were very keen on, certainly 6 months ago.
Some readers' questions. Mark, do people who are obsessed by speculative transfer stories need professional help?
Yeah, but I think we all get excited by the start. Pre-season tours for me, when you see the new signings, the new kit. You know, I've been in the States for the last couple of years, and people are getting up at 3 or 6 or 3 in the morning to watch United v LA Galaxy. It's an exciting time of the year. So I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it shows it's part of the passion of the game. The modern age is that, in modern, you know, because of Twitter and Facebook and all this, you can't go 5 minutes without a new player being linked. And it's kind of sorting the good ones out for the bad ones. And, you know, 99% of them are bum steers, but it makes it more difficult for people like me who have to kind of spend time, waste time checking these out. And none of us are flawless. You know, we all get them wrong, and some get them
right. What's the best one you've got wrong?
The best one I've got wrong? Christ, I don't know how many do you pick from? I can't think of one obvious one at the minute. There's been a few. I mean,
was it wrong right at the time and turned
out?
Yeah,
I mean, this is the thing.
You get a lot of that, don't you? Where
yeah.
There's definite interest.
Yeah.
And you write it.
The one that springs to mind is Samir Nasri. Right. I mean, yeah. Back in, what was it, 2011 when he went to City, wasn't it?
Yeah.
United were absolutely banged on for Samir Nasri. They were so close to doing the deal, you know. People were telling people at certain golf days, oh, it's done. And I'd heard that he actually phoned Fergie and said, don't worry, mate. Don't worry, boss. He actually called him boss. Don't worry about it. And then City got involved. But prior to that, City were in for Alexis Sanchez at the time.
Yeah.
From Udinese. And they were saying that it's Sanchez all the way. And then Barcelona came in, signed Sanchez. And at the time, City were saying, oh, no, Nasri's not, you know, second or third on the list. But, you know, Sanchez went to Barcelona, somebody else went somewhere else. All of a sudden, Nasri's their top target. So we've been writing for weeks that United were going to sign Sami and Nasri because he'd been calling Fergie boss. Then City come in, and at that time, City were prepared to do whatever it took to get a player. And he went to Man City. So we were wrong by saying United were going to sign Sami and Nasri. We were right at the time, because they were interested in it. And it's one of those things.
I found something out this year about that summer of 2011 where a couple of people were doubly pissed off because...
Wesley Snyder?
No. Well, maybe he was, but just, you know, off hard evidence that I know was that Alexis Sanchez, United definitely wanted him, so did City, so did Barca. And his choice was Barca, United, City, in that order. And if he'd gone to United, Barca instead... we're going to go for Giuseppe Rossi. And when that didn't happen, someone lost out on two different moves.
The sliding doors thing, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there were people with a vested interest in more than one of the deals.
I mean, the Snyder one is a classic because, again, it was that summer. It was a bit of a heavy-duty summer, that, because we were in the States for 3 weeks.
Remember?
You know, you had to be banging for him, and they just... Then when we all landed in Seattle one day, we all had messages from the club saying... David Gill wants to point out there was no interest in Snyder. Completely contradicted everything we've been told, you know. And it was just like, well, hang on a minute, we all know this talk. No, there's no interest, absolutely no interest. And then remember Bob Cass falling foul of Fergie in Washington.
I remember that, yeah.
Having written that a senior source who had been quoted as Sir Alex in the first edition of the Mail on Sunday had said there's a contract off on the table for Snyder. Fergie went ballistic, fell out with Bob for a while, and the Snyder thing never happened, but I did an interview with Edwin van der Sar about a year later, after he'd finished. I was in Amsterdam. And I said, well, what happened with Schneider? We were told by United it wasn't happening. So, you know, basically said, oh, it was a deal. What happened was, it would have cost Schneider so much money in tax to leave Italy into mind that United couldn't bridge the gap. So, yes, they were doing everything, they were talking, but Inter were paying him so much money and the tax would have killed him. That's why I went to Galatasaray, because money in Turkey is ludicrous and they'll cut corners to make these deals happen. So, you know, so that's another one that United were waiting for Schneider.
They won't be able to cut corners if they get into the EU, will they? With the stringent.
I think that's a while away. I think the way things are going, we might not be in the EU with them.
I know.
God forbid.
Probably best that this podcast doesn't venture into that area. Although we did a poll on United We Stand, and I was surprised that 70% saying they wish to remain. In Europe. The second question, knowing what you know now, would you have taken the independent job? And by that, I think the reader means that the independent stopped publishing in print as a newspaper.
Yeah, I mean, it's like that old Kevin Keegan quote, isn't it? It wasn't what it said in the brochure. And I think it was about 6-7 weeks after I started the job that it happened, but I took the job because as much as I enjoyed doing Manchester for the Telegraph, I just felt it was becoming a little bit repetitive, same story, same years, and the football was getting worse to watch as well. But both
definitely,
clubs.
Yeah.
So it was a chance to be a number one, a chief football correspondent, and after the title. So that was the right challenge at the right time. And I don't regret taking it at all. I mean, obviously, I'm sad to see the paper to go, but I have no regrets whatsoever. I think the other week when we did the story about Van Gaal's management style and how certain players couldn't boil an egg. It was, you know, the kind of inside story of Van Gaal's reign at United, his reign of terror. It absolutely smashed the indie website. I mean, I think the first day it did 200,000 page impression. I think, you know, by the end of the week it was 300,000. And that for the independent is massive. And I was speaking to one of the senior guys at the papers. He rang up to say, "Well, can't believe how well this is done. It's really steep. People are slapping it. What else can he offer us?" And he said, "It's going along every few months."
Yeah.
But he said, "I said, so how's it going?" And he said, "Well, since the paper closed, we've dropped 100 stories a day on the website. So there's 100 fewer stories a day going on the website. But despite that, the numbers of readers going up. So they're finding that less is more. So despite getting rid of a lot of stuff, they're getting more people to the website. So in that respect, it's working." And it's a successful venture. Now,
how do you monetize that though? Because it's not in the bigger picture. You've got Google and Facebook hoovering up advertising revenues.
Yeah.
It's all right saying you've got 50 zillion hits if you're not backing it up with advertising revenues. And there's been a huge fall in the last year.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's various things. I mean, they're really keen on video now. So, you know, me and Ian Herbert over here, is the people who know from doing United stuff in the past, chief sports correspondent of the paper. We do videos over here, and videos, when I was at the Telegraph, they told me this, videos attract 5 times more in terms of advertising revenue. So, you know, even if it's videos of me talking shite about England, or...
Maybe we should be filming this.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, you can get the clickbait for that.
You meant use the word clickbait. It's depressing, isn't it?
Yeah.
How you're seeing that there's some pretty respected titles that are going down the clickbait route.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's horrible to see.
Yeah. But from my point of view, the good thing about it is neither me nor Ian have been asked to do that sort of stuff. I had less concerns about it. Cause I've been at the Telegraph. I'd seen this whole process before and seen how it works. And I know what works, and what works is kind of good informed stories, transfer stories, obviously, even better if they're right. But just kind of knowledge. So what they want from me is that sort of thing. I try my best to provide it. Sometimes you can't, but they're not asking me to do, you know, a monkey falls out of a tree at Carrington or anything like that. So,
or United are signing Messi tomorrow.
Yeah, or Ronaldo seen walking down Deansgate, which I think some papers have done in the past. So they just leave us to do what we've done in the past, and their view is that more people come to that if it's good and if it's worth reading. So, but the good thing is, some of the guys in the office will do the kind of the transfer gossip, the trawling around, because it's a... By then doing that, it means that me and the other guys can do what we want to do, what we're employed to do. So,
you'd be a proper journalist by speaking to people and building up contacts.
Yeah. So there's no
They're going to give you actual news so that you can write those Van Gaal pieces.
Yeah,
so but you can't do them every day.
Absolutely, yeah, and I don't really expect that anyway. But but there's no pressure on us to, you know, if the wheels aren't turning on the website one morning, can you just come up with a Man United flyer? And they never do that.
Yeah.
So. It's worth. I don't regret it at all. You know, it was a step up in me career-wise and, you know, profile-wise. Although I did kind of get dragged back into Manchester quite a lot in the second half of last season, thanks to Arthur and Lewis and the team, which went performed very well.
Yeah, well, the team got dragged back as well, metaphorically as well as
Do you feel like a war correspondent is the next question when following the national team and its fans at the tournament?
I did in Marseille last week.
Well, we spoke about 2 hours before it kicked off.
Yeah, I know. I think we could both smell something in the air, but it wasn't Russian machismo or anything like that. I'll be honest. When I took the job, the one part of the job that really didn't appeal was England. I wanted to be the guy that did the big Champions League games, the big games at the weekend. I wanted to go to Arsenal, Chelsea. I wanted to go to Champions League finals. I wanted to do all that, and that's what the big appeal was. I wanted to be able to do the Carlo Ancelotti interviews and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
England was like, listen, it's you can't do the job without doing England, and last week Wales put up Gareth Bale and Aaron Ramsey to the national press, two biggest names, two best talkers. England, we were given Ryan Bertrand and Alan Lallana, and it was like
he said nothing.
Yeah, but even if we're the best one in the world, Ryan Bertrand hasn't played. What can you ask Ryan Burton that would make any fan take notice? You know, with due respect to Ryan Burton, he's not played a game. Adam Lallana, he's a nice guy, nice little footballer. But
nice son-in-law.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And it's hard, and that's the problem with England sometimes. It really is a step down from doing Man United, Man City, Chelsea in terms of quality of players and personalities. But it commands so much more coverage because there's nothing else going on. You know, it feels a bit like covering West Brom in the Premier League, but having to write 5 pieces today in West Brom. No offence to Johnny Evans, who's a great lad, by the way. But it's but the war correspondent thing, yeah. I mean, I've done a lot of Republic of Ireland in the past at tournaments, and they're absolutely brilliant. The Irish fans are superb. England fans, it's just a different mentality. But to be fair to them all, we've been walking through St Etienne today. There's no sense of any trouble. It's a great atmosphere. It's a good natured group, and it's a different group that was in Marseille.
Hello.
I just think there's a different. I don't know what it is. I mean, somebody more intelligent than me would say, but it just feels like this kind of invasion culture, the empire culture of English and British lingers with England football fans, and they go to a place like France, Belgium, Holland, thinking we've conquered you before, we'll do it again. I don't know.
There's a group of six middle class boys from Daventry.
Yeah.
With their flag with a Spitfire on it. And
so yeah, it's not the most pleasant thing sometimes to get on a plane full of England fans from those places from, but it's part of the job. And Marseille was bad, but the England fans weren't blameless by any means, but the Russians were certainly the ones that, I mean, that was horrendous what happened in the stadium.
Yeah.
It was and the England fans fled and fought. They weren't standing there fighting the England fans. They actually legged it, and quite right too, because the Russians were absolutely scary.
The Russians were the main perpetrators. I was in the old port in Marseille. There were other contributory factors. The French police, the local scropes, the Marseille ultras, and England fans as well, who started drinking, a lot of them, at 9 a.m.
Yeah.
And by mid-afternoon were absolutely steaming. And I sat in a section of Russian fans, and they knew I was English, and they were fine with me, they were polite with me. And 10 minutes before the kick-off, you had these English lads coming in, absolutely bladdered, obnoxious, and not even realising that they were steaming as they tried to get to the wrong seat. And that does not create a good environment, nor does booing the national anthem.
No, that's it.
Again, you don't deserve to be beaten up for that.
No.
By some stead head from St Petersburg with a gum shield. But it doesn't help.
No, they're not good tourists. I mean, that's the thing. They don't travel to these cities and immerse themselves. And I'm not saying they should go to the nearest art gallery rather than the Irish bar, because there's nothing wrong with going to an Irish bar in a foreign city, but they're just not good tourists. But, you know, again, I'll defend England fans here. When I went to Lawns for the Wales game last week, I was dreading that. I was thinking, oh, here we go again. It's going to be absolute carnage. And that was something that happened that I'd never seen before. Both anthems at an England game were respected, and both anthems were applauded by the rival. England fans were applauding the Welsh national anthem and vice versa. And am I seeing things here? Now, obviously, there was this kind of unholy alliance in Lille the night before with the Russians attacking both sets of fans. And whether that had something to do with it, I don't know, but it was like, I'm at an England game, and the anthem's being respected, and the plot was going on there. But it was nice, and it was more the same. It's weird, because I had to listen to the Radio 4 last night, and they were asking about football's kind of, how football can influence the referendum. And without getting too bogged down in the kind of politics of it, I made the point that when you travel away with United or Liverpool, you get a sense that the fans see themselves as European, as representing, being proud to go abroad and
find the nearest, ambassadors.
Yeah, find the nearest tap as well. Just explore a bit, and you know, be good tourists. They are, and they are good tourists.
Especially to the lesser games. The problem with United yeah. and Liverpool, if you're playing in Lons, which is easy to get yeah. to, you get every knobhead coming.
Yeah.
If you're playing in Istanbul away,
yeah.
people know that if you act up, you go out of jail or you're going to get yeah. filled in. And then that's developed yeah. over time.
Yeah, I think it's experienced and they've been yeah. around for a few years. And I just think the England crew, this is no great revelation, but you see where the flags are from, Scunthorpe, Yeovil. Kids who support those teams never get a European touch, so this is the one chance to watch their football team abroad, and it might be the only time they go, so they don't have that kind of longevity and experience of Europe that United fans, Liverpool fans have. And
they're not being banned from the next tournament.
No, yeah, absolutely. So there's definitely United fans get it a bit more.
I'm just going to wrap up part one here, because we're going to split it into two episodes of half an hour each.
And we'll have the second part of Mark's podcast next week. We're going to try and do a couple over the summer before they resume properly when we go on the pre-season tour to China mid-July. The Summer United We Stand is out. We've had loads of feedback from people who've bought it, and loads of you have bought it as well. You can buy single issues of this one. It's the only one each season where we allow people to buy single issues. We don't normally do it because just massive administration involved, but you can do it via our website, or you can download the digital edition of United We Stand. There's a Wayne Rooney interview in there. There's loads of stuff in there. It's our biggest ever issue. And until the next podcast next week with Mark, goodbye.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
This holiday season, reach for the one butter that never disappoints. Kerrygold. Made with milk from grass-fed cows on Irish family farms, it's rich, creamy, and perfect for baking. Whether browning butter for cookies or crafting the flakiest pie crust, Kerrygold's high butterfat content makes all the difference in flavor and texture. Holiday treats will taste extraordinary.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.